Jeremiah chapter 44. Yesterday's discourse was along this line. Will men never learn? Will we never learn? Now, judging by Jeremiah 44, the answer to that question would seem to be no. I think the best we could say from Jeremiah 44 would be, rarely will men learn. And when I talk about men, I'm not only speaking about unbelievers. The book of Jeremiah, above all, applies to believers today. The professing church of God, the assemblies of God's people, the individual believer. Will the individual believer, will the churches never learn? Well, did Israel learn? Did Judah learn? The answer was, Judah did not learn. What do I mean? God had given the Jews, the Hebrews, his word, his covenant, his law, the temple, the sacrifices, the priesthood. And they had promised right from the beginning that they would obey everything that God said. Exodus 19. But even before Moses came down from Sinai, they had broken the law. And that was just the start. And so God sent prophets again and again to Israel and to Judah. Come back to me, come back to the covenant, come back to the law, come back to my word. There were occasions when they did reform, to a measure. But the general course was downward, until Israel, then Judah, Jerusalem, went into captivity. For God had warned them again and again that if they would not repent, he would destroy them. And this has happened. And Jeremiah 44 finds us now, Israel has long gone into Assyria. Judah has gone into Babylon in captivity. Jerusalem is destroyed. The temples are ruined. There's no sacrifice, no priesthood, nothing. What is more, the remnant of the Jews that have been left, and God had said that they should stay there in Jerusalem among the rubble, to look after the flocks there and wait until God would have mercy upon them at the end of 70 years. Even this remnant had refused God. Jeremiah had warned them to stay there. No, they would go to Egypt. And now we find them in Egypt. And what are they doing in Egypt? They are sinning in exactly the same way as Israel before, as Judah and Jerusalem before. They're going on in the same old way. And Jeremiah is raised again. He's gone with them. He's raised again as a prophet, this lone voice, it seems, there, declaring to them again, you're sinning in exactly the same way, and God, as before, will bring his fierce anger upon you here. You're going to bring disaster on yourself, he says, in Jeremiah 44. Why will you do it? You will destroy yourself. To this day, you have not humbled yourself, or shown reverence, nor have you followed my laws and decrees I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I am determined to bring disaster on you. Famine, sword, plague. You and Egypt will fall together. A few fugitives will remain. That takes us up to verse 14. In verse 15 onwards, we have the response of the men and their wives. Not just a few, a large assembly it was, and all the people were there, whether they lived in Lower or Upper Egypt, all the remnant of the Jews. And what did they say to Jeremiah? Well, we've learned from God's word. We've learned from history. We've learned from your prophecy. Not at all. We will not listen. We won't listen to the law. We won't learn from history. And we're not going to learn from your preaching. We will not listen to the message you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord. We will certainly, that's dogmatism for you, emphasis for you, determination, we will certainly do everything we said we would. We're going to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. We're going to pour out our idolatrous worship to the heavenly host, whatever it may be. Our kings, our people in the past have done it. We're doing it. The wives chip in. Our husbands know it. We're all going to do it. And after all, at that time, when we were doing it, before you came and interfered, at that time we had plenty of food and were well off and suffered no harm, verse 17. But ever since we tried to copy what you tried to say to us, what's happened to us? Nothing but perishing by sword and famine. Verse 18. So we're going to go on with it. Jeremiah comes back and repeats his message. You've broken the law. You're breaking the law. You're determined to break it. You won't come back to my word. You won't come back to my covenant. I'm going to destroy you. Plague, fire, sword, famine. A few from that whole remnant will come back. You will see whether it's my word or yours, and my word will stand, says God. You and Egypt will fall together under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What can we learn from this, my friend? Will men never learn? Unbeliever. Will you never learn? Believer. The churches I appeal to. Will you never learn? Look how these people will not return to the word of God. That's all I ask. Open your New Testament, open all the scriptures, but the New Covenant particularly. Check our lives. Check your life. Believer, I'm talking to you, the churches. Check it against the New Covenant. Search the scriptures, the New Covenant says. The Old Covenant was to the law and to the testimony. If they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Isaiah 8:22, I think it is. Search the scriptures, says Christ. The men of Berea, search the scriptures. What are the scriptures given for? The word of God, that you may know how you should behave yourself in the house of God. Timothy. What we find in our lives that is forbidden by scripture, let us root it out. What is given to us in the New Testament and we're not doing, let us get down to it and do it. I speak to myself, I speak to you, believer. I speak to the churches. Would the Jews do it? No. Will we do it? They also misread history. Oh, we were well off when we were going our way. I can hear the cry today. I can hear people speaking to me even now. You don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? Look at our numbers. We've got so many numbers, we've got to pull down our buildings and build bigger. We can't find enough room to contain them. We have to multiply the number of services we're having. Look at the money, the budget. Look what we're doing here, there and everywhere. That's how the Jews were talking. We were so well off when we were going our way. The pagan methods are working, aren't they, today? If we use the methods that the world uses, the advertising techniques, their psychological methods, the user-friendly business, the getting alongside them, mixing up with the world and all the rest of it, this sacramentalism, this priestcraft, if we use all these systems that the fathers and the world and Christendom have taught us, we're doing so well, David. What do you mean? We're doing well. I'm reminded of Khrushchev. I understand that when they sent off their spacecraft, he said one day, well, we sent a man out into space, he said, and we didn't see God there, so there is no God. My reply at the time and now is, the poor man was using the wrong measuring stick. Show me a text in the New Testament. Show me a text in the New Covenant where it says, you can know my blessing is upon you, says the Lord, because you have huge numbers. You can't get buildings big enough, and you've got a budget you don't know what to do with. There's so much money coming in. I defy you to find such a place. I will read this in the scripture. It is required and assured that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? To my covenant, to my law. The law of Christ, the gospel. But But I say we're mad. The pagans say, whom the gods would destroy, they first drive mad. Leaving aside the pagan idea, I believe there's a great deal of truth in it. I believe we've lost our senses. Can't we learn from Jeremiah 44? We have the word of God complete now. History shows us. Revelation 2 and 3, the history of the church shows us. God knows how to visit in judgment, my friend. But we're so crazy, so mad, so foolish, so bent upon our ways, that we will do what we do because we like it and it seems successful. I don't know of any text which says, well done, thou good and successful servant. I want to be successful. What is success? That's the question. These people had success, but they didn't. Just numbers are no success. Huge buildings are not a measure of success. It's the reality of the conversions we are seeing, the spirituality. And only God knows that, and the last day will declare it. Our task is to be faithful to God in his word. What can I say then? Unbeliever, if you've listened to me at all, you will know that I have tried to be faithful in warning you. There is such a place as hell. Judgment is coming for you, my friend. You are even now under the wrath of God. You're playing with fire. Every moment you stay out of Christ, you're playing with fire. Repent, believe the gospel, trust Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God commands you to repent. He commands all men to repent, everywhere. But he invites you to come unto him. Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. He will take away your sins. He will give you everlasting life. Here is the greatest offer you will ever receive. Here is this most serious warning you will ever receive. Far more serious than any doctor can give you. Or any insurance agent. The preacher of the gospel tells you that everlasting hell is waiting if we're not in Christ. But everlasting glory and bliss is found in Christ. So come to Christ. Learn from God's word. Learn from these Jews. They refused and they perished. Unless you repent, you will perish. Believer, the churches, I do appeal again. That's all I appeal for. Go back to Scripture, the New Covenant, the Gospel. Ask for the old ways, the good path, and walk in it. That's all I'm asking. Don't misjudge the Lord. Don't misread by circumstances, large numbers, big buildings and all the rest. To the law, to the testimony, to the New Testament, to the covenant. Search the Scriptures. Be faithful. Will men never learn? Well, judging by Jeremiah 44, the best I can say is rarely. In fact, if I was strictly honest with this passage, it'd have to be never. But I think we might say rarely. I believe I've wasted my breath, but no, I haven't wasted it. Why not? Because I'm conscious of the prophet Ezekiel. God said to him, if you don't warn the people when I warn them, I'll hold you responsible, Ezekiel. If you don't encourage them when I encourage them, I'll hold you responsible, Ezekiel. Have I warned you, my friend? Have I warned the unbeliever? Have I warned the believer? I believe I have. Have I tried to encourage you to come to Christ? Tried to encourage you to come back to Christ and to reform again according to his word? I speak to myself as well. Have I spoken of the danger, the risk you're running if you refuse God again? See that you refuse not him that speaks. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But mercy, grace stands ready for you if you will come to Jesus. Have I not challenged the churches? Warned. But God said to Ezekiel, if you do warn them, then although I judge them, you have discharged your responsibility. Oh, I hope for better than that. May it be that these feeble words will bring some poor sinner to Jesus Christ to be saved now. And help some child of God to search the scriptures and to return unto the Lord our God. Will we never learn? Will I learn from Jeremiah 44? I don't want to just close my Bible now and forget it. May God help me to learn from these words and give a better answer than the Jews did to Jeremiah. Oh, we're going to go on and do what we want. No. I will bow. I will bend the knee. I will bend the neck. Forgive me my sin and make me walk in the way of your commandments in Christ. Make me indeed to be a man that glorifies you through Jesus Christ by your Spirit. May Jeremiah 44 speak again to us, even now.